From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk about the election. Okay, yeah, maybe we're all a little bit tired of talking about the election. But we can still have some fun with it, right? I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, of course, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hello, Kathy, there at your home in Armenia. Ross, you at your home in Toronto. You know, last week we talked about spooky season because of Halloween. I guess we're sort of still in the thick of spooky season because the American election is coming up on Tuesday. I guess it's not really election day anymore, is it? It's like election couple of weeks because of early voting. And
counting votes, we voted
here in Spain. Randy, my husband, and I voted in the middle of October.
Yeah.
So
it goes on for quite a while. And mercifully, it'll all be finished very soon. But today, we're going to at least enjoy it a little bit, and we're going to talk about some election-related words.
We're going to do a little bit of pronunciation here, and we're going to see if you remember our past episode. The word is E-L-E-C-T-O-R-A-L.
Right. And by remember our past episode, I think Ross is talking about, I don't know, 2020 or something. We might have done some election related words.
I think it was way back.
So it's been a while. So this word, as Ross said, E-L-E-C-T-O-R-A-L. So often we're talking about maybe the college, and I'm going to say it the way I usually say it. And I think you're going to tell me it's wrong. But I would usually just say the Electoral College.
No, we're going to say you're correct.
Oh. Do people often say Electoral College?
I'm going to argue this, though. I'm going to argue this vociferously in 2 seconds. But let's give it to Fletcher first. Fletcher is Electoral, 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 Electorial. These are four different pronunciations. You said the first one, Electoral.
Yeah, let me repeat these. Electoral, which is what I said, electoral, with the emphasis on the second syllable there. Electoral, which I don't know whether I've said that in the past, but I might have, and I don't think that's unreasonable. Electoral, electoral, I don't like it that much, but that's okay. It's just kind of eliding the sounds there, right? And then electorial, no thank you.
Fletcher, you've got it perfectly correctly. Yeah, that's it. All the first three are generally seen now as acceptable. The last is not. I personally, though, have a big thing. I like electoral. I think, and there was an American Heritage survey of it, and they basically thought that the electoral was by far the preferable way to say it. And I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. I don't like electoral. And I don't like
electoral.
I don't like the other ones.
Yeah.
I don't like electoral. It sounds sort of like a, I don't know, like an enema or something. I don't like it.
I was going to say, it sounds like a skin disease to me somehow.
Yeah, it does.
Well, here's my question. We talked a few weeks back about syllable stress.
Right.
Does electoral, the one that we all seem to like, does that follow the syllable stress rules that we talked about a few weeks back?
It's the antepenult. It's the first syllable, going backwards. Ul is short, ter is short, so therefore it should be technically electoral.
Okay.
That should be technically the correct pronunciation. I mean, as preferred in English. You know, I don't think it's a big deal if you say electoral or whatever.
But I think it makes your ears happier to hear that.
I think it does. I think it does. And it was interesting because that American Heritage survey, you know, they did it and 95% of the people preferred or liked the that pronunciation the best. So.
You know what, though? I'm going to defend electoral just for a second in a little way. When you say electoral, it kind of sounds like a real anticlimax. You know, it seems like you say elect and then some other sounds. Electoral.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. You're right.
But electoral sounds like I'm saying something important.
It does. I think
it's
you're
funny because electoral is fairly recent. It's not as old as the pronunciation electoral. So maybe, yeah, we're getting more panicky. I don't know. Pay attention. Vote.
Okay, let's go to the next E here, Fletcher. I'm sure you're probably going to know this, which is a really horrible way to open a quiz. But what's with the college part? One, electoral college. Initially, the electors were chosen from state universities, a reference to the concept of a school of thought, from the original meaning of college society.
I got to go with the last one. This is the original
you
meaning
got
of
it.
College. Yeah,
I should have made it fancier. I didn't do it well. Yes. College came from the Latin name for society, Ross, collegium?
Collegium, yeah.
Or it would be collegium. I'm not good at the hard.
Well, in Latin, technically it would have been collegium, but you don't, I mean, in the collegium in a way has become an English word as well. So I would say collegium.
Okay. So, and it, which came from the word collega, meaning colleague.
Collega,
so it was
yes.
a society of colleagues, which mm-hmm. I kind of like, which makes me like the electoral culture, so I'm against, but that's beside the point. Better. Society of colleagues at least sounds like a little nicer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And we still have, yeah, it is. But even the word itself, though, we still have the word like the College of Surgeons or whatever. I mean, the doctors.
Do you? I don't think of that at all. College as opposed to like college as a school. I don't. I don't think of college as a society one bit.
Oh, really?
Do you?
I, for some reason, I was always fascinated as a kid. I think because they always had like a college. We had an uncle who was a doctor, a physician. And he had like, we'd go to Savannah, Georgia, and he had on his... in his office, in his house, things like, you know, Louis Leopold, member, College of...
I always thought that looked so stupid.
I love
it's so
that
funny. You know, really, I hate that sort of... No, that's... I don't mean that meanly. I mean, I love...
Well, I don't think the, you know, the College of Physicians is taking you to heart on that one, so I wouldn't worry about it. Fletcher, okay, this is a quickie. Extra credit. We have a race for a mayorship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see this one.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going here, and I think this one is harder. So we had electoral. Now we have the one for just for mayor. If you're voting for mayor, you have this kind of election, mayoral. I would probably, and based on what we've talked about, this may be wrong, but I would probably say mayoral. Not mayoral. Did you hear the difference? Mayoral rather than mayoral, because mayoral doesn't even sound like
it's
a
hard
word.
To say.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't even sound like a word that somebody would understand me saying.
This really gets me because technically the best quote unquote pronunciation is mayoral.
Uh huh.
But I agree with mayoral is hard to say. Mayoral. Mayoral is easy to say.
Well, it's like mayonnaise, though. Mayoral. I don't have a problem with it.
Mayoral.
You know what I would really say is election for mayor.
Right.
Which is very, very interesting because a number of style manuals recommend saying that exactly what you said, election for mayor, instead of saying mayoral elections. But just listen for a second, though. Mayoral, I just said it, mayoral elections is horrible.
Yeah, it
mayoral
is horrible.
Mayoral election is easier. It sounds better.
It is. It's better.
I don't have a problem with mayor. I'm sorry, guys. Maybe I love mayonnaise, as I said before. So perhaps I have no problem with the may part.
Yeah, but if you're listening to me, context clues would probably tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about an election for mayor. But if they didn't and you heard me, blah, 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 mayoral election.
Yeah.
What? What did you say?
It gets
mayoral.
All muddled.
No, but mayoral, you just have to pronounce it well.
I really think it's a huge thing. I agree with you, Fletcher, completely.
It's really, really mushy. I would say mayoral, or I would just change it to election for mayor and... Pronunciation scolds be damned. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
Okay, let's take a poll on this, shall we? Poll, as in we're heading to the polls.
P-O-L-L.
Where did it come from? P-O-L-L, not P-O-L-E. But the first, actually, where did it come from is, did it come from P-O-L-E? Originally from the Polish, meaning field, since early moots were held in fields. Number two, from Polle, P-O-L-L-E, a Middle Dutch word meaning head. So the concept of counting heads of cattle, but whatever. Three from P-A-L-L-I-U-M, because I can't do Latin well. Pallium, thank you. Latin meaning robe, because the Senate was wearing robes when in session and voting.
Hmm. Just the words themselves, none of those are compelling to me, but I do like the idea of counting heads, and so I'm going with that one.
You got it?
Yeah.
You got it.
Counting cattle.
Yep. Hair of the head. Piece of fur from the head of an animal. Head of a person or animal. Middle Low German, Middle Dutch, the whole thing. Hey, just curiously, though, it really got me because I sort of knew this. Do you remember in, did either of you, Kathy, I know did, read Charles Schulz?
Mm-hmm.
Because Linus was joined the 4-H club and he was going to get a whole bunch of polled
Herefords.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was funny because that's where I got it from. Because I remember like looking at that as a kid and going, what's polled mean?
Hmm.
And sure enough, it relates to the, in this case,
okay, Ross, I didn't
you took the
know.
Hair, the horns off of the. Of
oh,
the,
that's it. Because I remember as a kid reading that, I was just like,
yeah.
As a typical kid going, okay, Linus wants
that's it.
This.
He's getting polled Herefords. Yeah.
It's interesting then. So we've got poll, meaning the hair on the head of the cattle or the animal, and then
coming to mean head.
To poll as the verb, meaning counting those heads,
yeah.
I guess.
Heads,
and,
right.
And so like if you take a poll, then you're counting heads, but then
right.
Now we go to the polls, which is back to a noun form related to us voting or us going to the place where they count the heads.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's just interesting to see that flip back and forth, noun, verb, noun, you know?
No, it's true. It is interesting. But it's sort of typical, though, particularly with, I mean, English has a lot of noun, verb, nouns, et cetera, though, adjectives. There are a lot of words that can have, you know, four different meanings, the same thing, or the same meaning in a general way. Speaking of which, we're going to go to another word, vote. Does vote come from the Latin meaning a vow or a promise to a god? A selection, originally choosing among livestock, or a winnowing out, separating wheat from chaff. And vote can be a noun or a verb.
Hmm, it seems very Latin. Maybe those are all Latin options, but I'll go.
They're all Latin. It always is Latin, Fletcher. It seems that that's right now.
Greek,
I know. We've got to go back to Anglo-Saxon here, guys.
I got to tell you, Ross, though, talking with you all the time and doing the show has helped me with Spanish.
Great. I know. It's like,
I'm a happy girl.
It seems a little too consequential, but I'm going to go with the vow to the god.
Oh, you're right.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good today. All right.
You are.
You're doing
hot. It came from the Latin votum.
Votum. You didn't pronounce the V. Votum.
A vow, wish, promise to a god, solemn pledge, dedication. And it really is. It's funny. That's one of those words that really didn't change much.
Mm-mm.
The meaning or the pronunciation or anything.
But the English to give a vote to is relatively early. I mean, relatively late, 1550s.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it's still the same. It's still the same, you know, concept,
yeah,
you know?
You're pledging to that person.
But my guess, though, is because it's what I'm saying is it obviously would be because it came. We were talking about that big rush of Latin words that came in the 1500s.
Ah, the inkhorns. Yeah.
So they basically just took it directly from the Latin and said, oh, this is a good word to use. So it didn't have time really to evolve. It was taken to mean, you know,
exactly
to give a vote
what
to,
it was.
It,
yeah, here we go. Yeah, here's your word.
This is the best one, I think. This is the most interesting one. We have another word which did not come from the Latin, lame duck.
I have always wondered about this.
I love lame duck.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it originally from farming, hunting, politics, or finance?
You know, this sounds like one of those terms that actually would have been invented for politics by... Who was the cartoonist?
Oh, the one who did Thomas Nast.
Nast. It seems like that sort of thing. So I'm going to go with politics.
Okay, but think of who. Now we're going to give you a little
Okay, that's wrong.
Okay,
we're gonna
cut
that out.
Okay. Think of something else. Think of like, who's paying off the politicians?
Okay, so finance. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting, though, because
that
it comes...
bad.
Because it comes... I know, I was really giving it away. But it comes from a word of... This is an interesting quote. A stock jobber or dealer who will not or cannot pay his losses and has to waddle out of the alley like a lame duck. Basically
isn't
a defaulter
great?
On a... I love that.
Wow.
What got both Kathy and me, though, is like, who sees lame ducks? I've never seen one.
Yeah, good point.
Well, hello. Okay. This is from 18th century London. There's ducks all over the joint, apparently, waddling on the streets. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. You've seen your Dickens sort of things.
I have, but really got me, though. But I thought more about it because we had a duck pond down the street from us. And I used to go fishing there like every day as a kid. And there were ducks all over the place. And for the life of me, I never saw a lame duck waddling.
They all seem fine. That's right.
And I can claim to know something of ducks. So I didn't see one.
Oh,
but whatever.
No, I disagree, Ross. Because Mom and I used to go to Graydon. Remember the pool in the middle of town? It was a man-made lake. And we would see lame ducks, actually.
So maybe it's because of the chlorine in the man-made lake that was flaming them.
But I also like, in the sense of okay, so that's lame duck was initially used as this, you know, the person who's not paying and waddling away like a lame duck, which is a very evocative, but I don't quite get it, picture. But in terms of politics, it wasn't used in the U.S. until the 1800s.
Well, Lincoln said it.
No, it was before Lincoln. Broken down politicians, was it Lincoln?
I had Lincoln saying it, attributed to President Lincoln. A senator or a representative out of business is a sort of lame duck. He has to be provided for. And it's an anecdote about Lincoln written in 1878. That doesn't necessarily mean he was the first, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. I just found another one. Senator John P. Hale, Congressional Globe in New Hampshire. He was a New Hampshire representative. A safe retreat, talking about...
Lame, that's what I had seen. Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it is well known to everybody who knows anything of its history that this court of claims, was made as a sort of retreat for lame duck politicians that got wounded and had to retreat before the face of popular condemnation.
Hmm. I must say, lame duck is such an evocative term. I actually really like it.
I do, too. But the one thing that's interesting now, though, is the word itself, though, we do think a lot about, and I would never apply it to anyone but a politician now. The old meaning of the financier thing, I wouldn't even think of.
No. And it used to be used in Navy. It was an old ship. You know, you go, oh, that's a lame duck. No, I don't really, I guess, have you ever heard it used, Fletcher, other than in politics?
No, not at all. In fact, I would think it was weird if I heard it outside of politics now.
Yeah. We have the next one, Fletcher, is canvas.
I love this one.
Canvas, as in canvassing for elections. Does it come from canvas without the extra S, i.e. the material, because canvas was used as a screen for sifting things? From canthus, the outer, or canthus, the outer or inner corner of the eye, where the upper and lower lids meet, and a bastardization over time, literally meaning looking someone in the eye when speaking. Or three, from James Canvas, a British parliamentarian in the 1700s, who introduced the concept of going from door to door to convince the public to vote for him.
Wow.
This is an interesting one. Kathy, you wrote these questions. They're very good.
Thank you, Ross. I was very proud.
They're very good.
Well, I didn't think it had anything to do with the material, like the, you know, the canvas without the S, the other S.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about a guy named James Canvas. The one about the eyelids seems really unlikely as well, but I guess I'll go with that.
I think these answers were brilliant. It actually comes
Thank
from the
you,
first
Ross.
One.
It really is. Okay.
Which is weird because it was to toss in a canvas sheet. And you would toss, and therefore, in effect, you would sift things. You would shake things out, which I would never have guessed. It's to sift. And it comes from the old French, canabasse, which I think we now know a French word that we're never going to use, but it means to examine carefully, to sift through canvas.
Hmm.
I would never have thought that.
I didn't even know you used canvas to sift things.
I didn't either.
See, that's the thing that got me, because when I think of canvas, it's not like a fishnet or yeah. something. I mean,
no, I
there's
agree
a fair
you.
Amount of tightness there.
I agree with you. Maybe it was for like really fine flour or something, I kept thinking. I couldn't figure it out either.
No, I know. Hmm. But thank you, Ross, for appreciating my exceptional
I thought that those were good questions.
Yeah. Every now and then I'm like, go KP.
You know? Fletcher, speaking of which, we don't have another one for this one, but we have a question for you. We've
okay.
done this word before. The word caucus.
Oh, yeah.
Does this word come from a Latin, from the French, from the Native American, or from the Chinese?
It seems Latin, right? But I think it's Native American, isn't it? I don't know, I'm sorry, which Native American language, but...
You're not running for office, but I would vote for you in terms of intelligence or good memory. You're right. Comes from an Algonquin word.
Yeah, okay.
Kaukasu or something like that. I can't pronounce it. Meaning counselor, elder, advisor.
It's interesting. I'm sorry, Russ. I'm going to interject. You did Kaukasu, which is... I would think of it as Caucasu.
Probably yours. I think your pronunciation
sounds good. I'm just
thinking
of like difference. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking just how we tend to pronounce. We've talked about this in the other episodes about where we put the stresses. That was all. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I looked at it. I mean, I told Fletcher he was correct. It's not a Latin word. And then I think I pronounced it in a Latin way.
Yeah, that's what I was. It was interesting. Yeah. I think we apply the rules that we're used to.
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're going to talk. Let's go to the next word, the Kathy that drives... At least it drives two people in the world crazy. And it probably does you too. Gubernatorial.
That's what do you think of this word?
Okay, this is just a conjecture. Why do you think it's gubernatorial and not governatorial?
Yeah, governatorial. Gubernatorial, probably some Latin reason.
Yep, you're right. I mean, it comes from the Latin gubernator or gubernator, I guess we would say now. Governor comes from the French, gouverneur, which came from the Latin, but the French changed it to governor when we took it as governor. Then we've talked about this a lot of times. A lot of people wanted to get fancy, and they grabbed the Latin word, which means literally meant helmsman or guy at the, you know, the helm of a ship.
Mm.
And they took it, and then we have gubernatorial now, which I think is one of the ugliest words of the English language.
Well, I love the fact, though. I mean, when I looked this up, so many people back, you know, from the 1800s have hated it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it stayed. It's like, how did that hang in? There was this one guy from Richard Grant Wright, I don't know, 1870, said, a clumsy piece of verbal pomposity, pedantic, uncouth, and outlandish. I was like, yeah, baby.
I liked what Ambrose Bierce said. He said it was needless and bombastic. Leave it to those who call a political office a chair.
I hate that too, though. I hate
gubernatorial
chair, well.
Chair is good that. Enough for them. So is hanging. I like that.
That's whoa.
He didn't like it. Someone here wrote in, we also have, in Australia, we have governors, but I've never heard gubernatorial, that word used outside the concept.
Was it in American elections that it started being used as gubernatorial?
It's called an Americanism.
Yeah.
Do they do it in Canada?
We have premiers here. I never heard governor.
Ah, so. Okay. Never mind.
But I'm just really weirded out. I mean, it's a really weird word, but it seems to have come into English, you know, via the Latin. But then it seems, I guess English don't have governors either particularly. So it doesn't really seem to have caught on in any big way. But it certainly did in the States.
Yeah, the English have governors, right?
Governor.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But you don't get elected to that. Oh, let's do gerrymander, Kath.
I love gerrymander. Fascinates me, actually. You know what gerrymandering is, first.
Yeah, drawing congressional districts in bizarre ways in order to maximize your vote share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does the name come from a prominent politician, Elbridge Gerry? Another prominent position, George Salmon, as in another one, Salmon Fish. He was famous, actually.
Mm-hmm. He fascinates me. Go on.
And the final is, does it come from a reference to jury rigging, and it became Jerry.
Well, interestingly, the answer is none of the above. Because the first guy you talked about, Elbridge, was that his first name?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, his last name was Gary, G-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, my gosh. Fletcher, you have won our vote completely now. You're right.
This is always really interesting to me because it's gerrymandering, but his name was Gary. It's though spelled that way, G-E-R-R-Y, but it's not gerrymandering.
Which is true. Okay, so it is from him, as we know.
Yes.
But yeah, it's pronounced with the hard... it actually initially was written with a hyphen as well. It was G-E-R-R-Y hyphen Mander, which makes sense because then you really see this guy did this.
Yeah, and the Mander, you know? Does the Mander come from it shaping it like a salamander, basically?
Salamander, because the original the original district was all, you know, was all like, it was contorted and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just found a real gerrymander. Do you remember Governor, California Governor Jerry Brown?
Sure.
Uh-huh. He was accused of gerrymandering with a J.
Aha. That's cute.
I love English. I love those words. Yeah, but these are portmanteaus. We've talked about portmanteaus in the past. I'm just curious. It's interesting to me that we didn't do it with a G. I'm assuming that the G, the J, is because we see G-E-R, and we most of our words have, other than hunger, but when you start with a G-E-R, it usually is a soft G.
I think so, because originally it was gerrymander. I mean, it originally was pronounced gerrymander, apparently, and then it softened.
Yeah, once the word starts to become lowercase, basically, right, and we just start to see it as that word gerrymandering, we sort of forget where it came from.
I'm trying to think of what's a G-E that would have a hard get.
But that's a monosyllable. Is there what about longer words with a G?
Well, what about another name? Getty.
Getty.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Right.
Getty Mandering. Or as I say, Jetty Mandering all the time. Actually, that's an interesting point. Why do we see G-E-R-R-Y and say Jerry in our head as
well,
opposed to
Gary?
Well,
just at words starting with G-E on the dictionary. Gear change, gear head.
No, but I don't. Actually, I think that was the wrong question. I think it's the G-E-R-R-Y we think of as Jerry. With the, like, you know, what starts with a G-E-R-R? Is there any G-E-R-R-Y that's a hard G?
I'm looking right as we speak. I'm looking. And I see... There are a lot of G-E-N's, I'll tell you that.
I can think of other G-E-R's, Gerund, Germany.
They're all J, you're right. Gerbil, geriatric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then think about like the plants that we have outside, geraniums, right?
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.